to meditate upon the words of the psalmist, Psalm 119 and verse 103. There the psalmist has recorded the words, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." It is very clear from the teaching of Scripture that the Word of God itself is food to the regenerated soul. The Word is that heavenly manna sent down from God for the good and spiritual health of our soul. Peter, in his first epistle, chapter 2 and verse 2, has told us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So we see there from the words of Peter that the Word of God is very necessary to the professing believer if that believer wants to grow in the Lord and grow in grace. The Lord Jesus himself taught that the Word of God is indeed the food that is needed for the soul. Quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, the Lord said during the days of his temptation in the wilderness, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The natural man needs that natural bread, but the spiritual man needs the bread of heaven, needs the Word of God for his soul. Job, of course, esteemed the Word of the Lord more than his necessary food. In other words, Job said that he could go for some time without his natural food, the food that his body needed, but he couldn't go without the food that his soul needed, namely the Word of the living God. And we are aware of the appetite that the prophet Jeremiah had for the Word of God, because he was able to say in his prophecy, chapter 15 and verse 16, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." My, how the prophet Jeremiah had a hunger for the word. When he found the word, he said, "When thy words were found, I did eat them. And thy word was joy and rejoicing to my heart." O believer, tonight, is the Word of God like that to us? Is it our joy and our rejoicing? It certainly was that to the prophet. And the psalmist here shares that same joy that the prophet himself had. Look at his joy in verse 97. "Oh, how love I thy law," or "thy word. It is my meditation all the day." Then he goes on to say, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Let us remember, as we look at the words in our text, that the psalmist is addressing the Lord. He is speaking directly to the Lord, and he's saying to the Lord, Lord, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. O dear child of God, if we were to address the Lord tonight with reference to his word, what would we have to say? What would we say to the Lord about his word? Would we be able to say with Jeremiah that the Lord's word is unto us our joy and our rejoicing? Would we be able to say with the psalmist that the word of the Lord is sweeter than honey to our taste? What is the word of God to us? Oh, I trust that indeed God's word to our souls tonight will be sweeter, yea, sweeter than the honeycomb, yea, sweeter than honey itself. And so let us consider the words of the Lord in relation to the Psalms. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here we have a powerful exclamation. For when the psalmist says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, he's not asking a question. He's making an exclamation. How sweet, he exclaims. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. When he thinks upon the word of God, indeed the words of the Lord, he says, thy words are sweet, sweet to my taste. Surely these words present us with the psalmist's delight in the word. Anyone who is able to say the word of God is sweeter than honey, that man delights in the word. You cannot say that the word of God is sweeter than honey if your soul doesn't delight in the word. Without a doubt, the soul of the psalmist delighted in the words of the Lord. Jonathan Edwards has an interesting word to say about the psalm. It says, I know of no part of the Holy Scriptures where the nature and evidence of true and sincere godliness are so fully and largely insisted upon as in the 119th Psalm. The psalmist declares his design in the first verses of the psalm, keeps his eye on it all along, and pursues it to the end. In other words, Edwards is saying that the psalmist begins this psalm by speaking about the word. That's his starting point. And Edwards says he keeps his eye on it throughout the psalm and pursues it right to the end. Because, as you know, this psalm, the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, is a psalm that is all about the word. 176 verses in this psalm, all dealing with the word of God. And what the word of God was to the psalmist. I wonder if we were given that task to sit down and write about what the word of God is to us, what it means to us. How many words would we be able to write? Psalmist wrote 176 verses. And of course, throughout this psalm, He expresses His delight in the Word. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Look at verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Verse 77. There again he says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. It was his delight, even the word of the Lord. It was the psalmist delighting in the word that brought him through many troubles. Look at verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Oh, if it were not for thy word and my delighting in the word, I would have perished in my afflictions. I would have gone under. Look again at the same psalm in verse 143. And there the psalmist speaks about what the word was to him in his troubles. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The word of God remained his delight in the midst of all of his afflictions and all of his troubles. And so we see that the man who delights in the word of the Lord is a helped man. The word of God helps him through his troubles. I was speaking to a brother yesterday who's been told that he has to go to hospital for surgery. And his family were rather concerned upon hearing the news. But the Lord gave his daughter a word. I'd like you to read that word to you. It's found in Psalm 41. My, here we see just how delightful the word of the Lord is in our time of trouble. For there we read in Psalm 41, verses 2 and 3, and here we have the word that the Lord gave to this child of God. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Why, that was a delightful word indeed. And how often, dear child of God, have you and I proved that to be true? Because we delight in the word of God, so often that word has brought us through our troubles. You mentioned there last week about the news we received at our commission of presbytery a few weeks ago. We were somewhat concerned about it, about the attack of the devil. But that particular day, in the reading of Spurgeon's checkbook to the Bank of Faith and his morning and evening readings, there was a word that was just the word for us that day. Why, it was a delight to have such a word in the midst of such trouble. That has happened again and again and again. And dear child of God, if you delight yourself in the word of God, if the word of the Lord to you is sweeter than honey, then the Word will help you through your troubles. So we see that the one who delights himself in the Word is one who is helped. The person who delights himself in the Word is one who is happy. The person who delights in the Word, whose soul is taken up with the Word, who says the Word is sweeter than honey, then that person is a happy person. We know that from the book of Psalms again. This time, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Happy is the man, blessed is that man, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he meditates in the law of the Lord day and night. Therefore, he enjoys that happiness that comes from the Word all the day long. And if you find a happy Christian, you'll find a Christian who delights himself in the law of the Lord. Yes, I know we have our sorrows and our troubles and our pains and our aches, but nevertheless, within the soul there's a happiness. Within the soul there's a joy that the world doesn't have, and a happiness and a joy that is found when we meditate upon the Word. When we meditate upon the Word, I will say with the psalmist, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Person who delights in the Word is one who is helped in his troubles, one who is happy, is one who is holy. And the delights in the Word of God is a holy man. Look at the same Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Why? Why was the psalmist able to say, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word? There's his delighting in the Word. He loved the Word. He's so delighted in the Word, and he wanted to keep the Word. And in keeping the Word, he was kept from evil. He was kept from every evil way. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments. It was the judgments and his love for the judgments, or his love for the Word of God, that kept him in the way. We know the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth. He delighteth in his way. It is the Word of God that keeps our steps. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How does the Lord teach us? He teaches us through the Word. And then he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But then we go on and see here that the psalmist not only speaks about the Word being his delight, the psalmist delighting himself in the Word, but here we have the psalmist's description of the Word. How does he describe the Word? He says that the Word to him is sweet. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. I wonder what we would tell the Lord about His Word. Are we able to say with the psalmist, Thy words are sweeter than honey to my soul. Now, if the psalmist describes the words of the Lord as being sweet to his taste, then he must be speaking about the whole Word of God. All of the Word. Isn't that what he says? How sweet are thy words. Lord, every word thou hast ever spoken. Lord, every word that is recorded in this book. I love that word. I love those words. Every word is sweeter than honey. He is saying that everything that is called the Word of God is sweet to his taste. You know, there are some professing believers in their delight in the Word would not go just that far. They wouldn't be able to say that every word in this book delights their soul. For there are certain matters in this book that they would never want to hear the preacher preach upon. I hope the preacher never deals with this matter or that matter or this subject or that subject. If that is the case, then they're not able to say with the psalmist, Thy words, O Lord, are sweeter than honey. My peace. For the psalmist, it didn't matter what part of the Word he looked into, or what part of the Word he heard, he delighted in it. He found the Word of comfort sweet to his taste. We've already noted that in verse 92, unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in mine affliction. The word of the Lord comforted him and consoled him. The word of the Lord had strengthened him. And so you can imagine just how sweet the word of the Lord was to the psalmist in the midst of his troubles. Dear child of God, how often has the Lord's word been sweet to our taste in the midst of our troubles. And the Word has come and comforted us. Just been the right Word at the right time. And our souls have been comforted. And my, we have said, that was a sweet Word to my soul. But what about the Word of command? Is the word of command from the Lord just as sweet to our taste? According to the psalmist, the word of command was just as sweet to his taste. For we read in Psalm 19, in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There's the Lord's command. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And what has the psalmist been speaking about? the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. Every aspect of the Lord's word. Yet the psalmist is still able to say, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey. Sweeter than honey. And the honeycomb. Same words, practically, that he uses in Psalm 119 and verse 103. O dear child of God, when the word comes to us, may the word always be to us a delight. May we delight to hear the word. Whether it's a word of comfort or a word of command, or even at times when the word comes and criticizes us, it's a word of rebuke. Word of correction, may the word still, may it still delight our souls, and may that word still be sweeter than honey to our taste. Sometimes we may have a meal set down before us, and there may be something on the plate that we don't like. So we'll push it over to the one side. Believe it. Oh, may we never do that with the Word. The Word of God is meat to our souls. The Word of God is the sincere milk for our souls. The Word of God is sweeter than the honey. May it always be so. Whatever is given to us, whatever is presented to us, whatever we read in the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, may we be able to say that word, sweet to my taste. For it is the Word of God. That's what made the difference. It was God's own Word. That's why the Word was sweet to the psalmist. Next, we see the psalmist and the designated word. Because what does he say? He says in our text, how sweet are thy words. So he's not talking about any word. He's talking about the word of the Lord. And he's saying the Lord's word is sweet to my taste, and the Lord's word alone. Here the psalmist is saying, nothing delights my soul more than the reading of the word, and the meditation upon the word, and the hearing of the word, and the preaching of the word. That's what delights my soul. Why? It is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than the honey. This shows us something. This shows us that the psalmist had a heart for the Word. Oh my, if we do not have a heart for the Word will never, never be sweet to our taste. But the psalmist had a heart for the Word, for he was able to say, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, if we do not count the word of God tonight a delight, if the word of the Lord doesn't taste sweeter than honey to us, then pray, oh pray tonight, Lord, give me a heart for the word. That's what I need. I need a heart for the word. Now, the psalmist says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is he not revealing to us that he had a hunger for the word? That word of reproof, that word of rebuke, That word of correction. Why, none of us like to be corrected. It's bitter to the taste. But here's the psalmist. Such was his hunger for the word. Such was his delight in the word. That even those bitter things were sweet to his taste. Yea, sweeter than honey. Turn, please, to the book of Proverbs. For there we read in Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27 and verse 7. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, even bitter thing, every bitter thing is sweet. To the hungry soul. Now you and I know that if you're hungry, you'll eat almost anything. Think of the 13 apprentice boys that closed the gates in the city of Londonderry and were under siege for a long time. They were reduced to eating the very rats that ran about the streets. Was there hunger? There was a gnawing hunger within their stomachs for something to eat. You recall that passage of scripture that tells us about the city of Samaria when it was under siege. People were so hungry that mothers killed their children and fed on their own children. And here we read that the psalmist says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And the book of Proverbs tells us that to the hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. Am I one with a hunger for the word? And we are corrected or rebuked by the word. Even that word of correction, that word of rebuke, still it's sweet to our taste. Oh, for a hunger for the word like that. And we press on. And we have here not only a powerful exclamation, but a peculiar expression. The psalmist repeats his words again. For in the first part of the verse, we read, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. And then he goes on to say, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And so the psalmist is placing the emphasis upon the sweetness of the word of God. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here we have a peculiar expression. Sweeter than honey. He wants to tell us just how sweet the word of the Lord is to him. And so he says, it's sweeter than honey. He can't think of anything else to compare the word of God to. He says, the word of the Lord is sweet to my taste. When you think of sweetness, you automatically think of honey. And the psalmist says, well, the word of the Lord to me is even sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. And whenever the psalmist is able to say, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth are the words of the Lord. Surely that means that the psalmist had already sampled the word. W.P. Nicholson one of the sermons was exhorting sinners to receive Christ, and he quoted the words of the psalmist, and he said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Nicholson said, "Now you know that honey is sweet. I could tell you honey is sweet, but you'll never know how sweet honey is until you've tasted it for yourself." And the point he was making was that he was able to tell the people how sweet Christ is. But he was saying to them, "You'll never know the sweetness of Christ until you taste of Christ yourself." Same thing applies here. We'll never know how sweet the word of the Lord is until we sample it ourselves. And it is very evident then that if the psalmist was able to say that the word of the Lord was sweet to his taste, that means the psalmist knew all about the word. He had read it, he had studied it, he had meditated upon it, he had sampled it. What was his conclusion? "Thy word is sweet to my taste." You think of that home in Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Martha wanted to entertain the Lord, and she invited him into their home. And Martha's cumbered about with much serving. And she asked the Lord to rebuke her sister, "Tell Mary to come and help me." But Mary had chosen that better part. Mary was sitting at the Master's feet. What was she doing? Hearing the word. Martha was preparing a meal for the table. Mary was partaking of a greater meal. She was being fed at the Master's feet. She was taking in the word. She was hearing the word. She was sampling the food that the Lord was giving her that day. Better food than what was on the table that Martha was preparing. The psalmist is able to state, "Thy words are sweeter than honey to my taste," then the psalmist has already tasted the word. Dear child of God, how much have we tasted of the word? We say tonight with our hand on our hearts, "Thy word is sweeter than the honey." Or do we not find any sweetness in the Word of God at all? Oh, then pray that the Lord give you a heart and a hunger for the truth. So it was evident then the psalmist had sampled the Word. And then in these words, in this peculiar expression, "Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth," we see here that he speaks about the superiority of the word. Regarding the sweetness of the word, the nearest thing the psalmist could liken it unto was honey. And we all know how sweet honey is. But the psalmist says, "Well, the word of God to me is even sweeter than that." It was his way of describing sweetness of God's word to his own soul. Dear child of God, the word of the Lord is superior in every way. It is sweeter than even the sweetest natural substance that can be found on the face of this earth. It's sweeter than honey. Psalmist is saying, as far as the word of God is concerned, There's nothing that can be compared to it. It is like Saul that stands head and shoulders above everything else. It is sweeter than honey. The psalmist means that if there is anything that can delight the heart of man, God's word can charm the heart of man even better than that. The psalmist means that if there is anything that can be found that will cheer the heart, comfort the heart, strengthen the heart, bless the heart, then the word of God is superior to that. It's sweeter than that. Even better than honey. And this word of the living God is better than anything else we can find to encourage and comfort and strengthen us. It is the word of God, and it's sweeter than honey. But then we have the sweetness of the word itself. As we have said and pointed out, the psalmist is really emphasizing the sweetness of the word. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We must ask the question, what is it that made the word so sweet to the psalmist? I know it's not the first time that when some of you ladies have tasted someone's home-baked cake or a dish or whatever, you want to know what's in it. You want to get the recipe and find out what are the ingredients. Well, here we have the food for the soul, the Word of God. So what is it that makes the Word of God so sweet to the taste? Doesn't matter where you turn to in this word. You can turn to any book of the 66 books of the Bible and you'll find, you'll discover that same sweetness. Because that which makes the word of God so sweet to our taste is Jesus Christ. Christ is the sweetness. You think of it. Everything about Christ is sweet. Turn with me to the Song of Solomon. And here is a book that sets before us the sweetness of Christ, the sweetness of the Beloved. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And here the Shulamite is speaking, or the bride is speaking. And she's speaking about her beloved. She's speaking about the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon 2 and verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet. Sweet to my taste. His fruit was sweet to my taste. It's interesting, the word taste there in the Song of Solomon 2 and verse 3 that we have just read is exactly the same word for taste in Psalm 119 verse 103. The word taste there means palate. The word of God is sweet to the palate. Christ is sweet to the spiritual palate. Christ is sweet to the spiritual man. Look again in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved. She's describing her beloved again. and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. There is that sweetness again, the sweetness of the bride that came from the sweetness of the bridegroom. For as you go through this passage of Scripture, we'll see in verse 13, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Verse 16, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. And so you see, when the bride was describing her bridegroom, she spoke of his sweetness. As was said, when you read the Word and study the Word, you'll discover the sweetness of Christ. The sweetness of His person. The sweetness of His love. The sweetness of His grace. The sweetness of His long-suffering. The sweetness of His mercy. Sure, everything about Him is sweet. Did we ever find anyone sweeter than Christ? And He is, of course, the incarnate Word, the Word that was made flesh. And so when we study the Word, meditate upon it, the Word will be sweet to our taste because Christ is the Word. And Christ is found here in the Word. And then we have finally a personal experience. You see, whenever the psalmist spoke here about the Word of God being sweet, he didn't form his opinion based upon hearsay. He wasn't going by what someone else had told him. He was speaking from personal experience. For he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This was the psalmist's own personal testimony. And the psalmist's own personal testimony tells us how he loved the sweetness of the Word. Does that not come across to us in these words of this verse? He loved the Word. And he loved the Word for its sweetness. He has already told us how he loved the Word of God. Verse 97, O how love I thy law. Oh, how I love the Word. Here is something without a doubt came from the heart of the psalmist. Oh, how love I thy Word. He loved it so much because of its sweetness. Because it was a Word that was all about Christ. Look at verse 47. Verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved. Again, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And again, and it goes on, the psalmist testified to how he loved the Word. Because he loved the Word, he was able to say, thy Word is sweet to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey. Believer, do we love the Lord as the psalmist loved? Is the Word of God as sweet to our taste as it was to the psalmist? Is it sweeter than honey? Does the Word of God stand above everything else? Is this Word sweeter than honey to our taste? If you look at those words, we see that the psalmist here is speaking about a lasting sweetness. How sweet are thy words unto my taste? He doesn't say, how sweet were thy words unto my taste. But he says, how sweet are thy words. They're sweet now. And they were sweet before. And when the psalmist would read the word again the next day, the word of God would be just as sweet. It is the unchanging word of God. And the word of the Lord, praise the Lord, never, never loses its sweetness. If we say the Word of God used to be sweet to my taste, it's not the Word of God that has changed. It's us that has changed. We have lost our sense of taste. It's a terrible thing to lose your sense of taste. That every piece of food upon the table or upon your dinner plate just all tastes the same. Terrible to lose your sense of taste. It's terrible for that professing believer to lose their sense of taste. And the Word of God no longer tastes. Someone has a love for desserts, we usually say that person has a sweet tooth. This is the sweet tooth we all should have. A sweet tooth for the Word. But the Word of God will be to us sweeter than honey, even to our teeth. Word will never change. Christians down through the centuries have found God's Word sweet to their taste. Sweet to our taste tonight. And as sweet for the believers that are to follow us. It's a lasting sweetness that we have in the Word. O believer, may we be able to say with the psalmist, how sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. And may the word we heard tonight even be sweet to our taste. Let us bow in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do bless thee for thy word. We thank thee, our Father, for the one who sweetens the word. Even that word of rebuke, when it comes to us, it's still sweetened by the Lord Jesus himself. And the word of correction, and how that word is sweetened also, because Christ is in it. Christ is in the word. O Lord, we pray that thou will help us to sit down under thy shadow and partake of thy fruit. For Lord, we'll be able to say with the Shulamite, his fruit was sweet to my taste. We thank thee, Lord, for the word of the living God, the manna sent down from heaven, how the Israelites were able to testify that it was sweeter than the honey. May thy word ever be sweeter than the honeycomb to our taste. Lord, write the word in our hearts now as we leave this meeting house tonight. May May we meditate upon the Word, and may it, our Father, grow even sweeter to our taste as we meditate upon it this evening. Give all traveling mercy. And dear loving Father, return us to the house of the Lord, even on Wednesday night, to seek Thy face. And once more, Lord, to partake of the sweet Word of the living God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.